Welcome to Biohackers Lab, a place where we talk to smart people who are figuring out how to improve health in interesting ways. Join us to discover how you can biohack your life, your body, starting today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Biohackers Lab. I'm your host, Gary Cohen, and on today's show, we're going to be talking about skincare and with a master of skincare, Andy Naylor. So just to give you a little bit of introduction about Andy, he is a high-level athlete who is a model and a Hollywood actor, and now he's become an entrepreneur in the skincare industry. And the reason I want to speak to Andy is because Andy does follow the biohacking scene just like I do. And so I've had the opportunity to be able to meet Andy and be able to use his product and find out more about it. But I want to delve even deeper so that we could find out how can we actually take care of our skin from a biohacking natural way. So Andy, thanks so much for coming onto the show.
Gary, thank you so much for having me.
Sure, no problems. So Andy, for people who don't know your story, why you are so interested in skincare with Alitura, which is the company we're going to be talking about too. Would you mind just giving us a summary how you got into being wanting to take care of your skin so much?
Sure. Yeah. So March 20, 2011, I was crossing the street out here in Los Angeles, California, and I was hit by a westbound heading vehicle into the eastbound lane and then run over by an eastbound heading vehicle. Woke up at a local hospital, Cedars-Sinai ICU, with a shattered jaw. The whole left side of my face right here, from bottom of my ear to the middle of my chin, was just in pieces. It was a very severe compound fracture of my jaw. I broke 7 ribs, had a collapsed lung, woke up with a catheter, and just really disoriented and unaware of my surroundings. But I was really banged up. I had a lot of abrasions and a lot of scarring from that accident. And what I did is I just, rather than using the serums and the creams that my surgeon was recommending that I use to counteract the scarring and abrasions that I had, because I was just always interested in dissecting ingredient rosters and figuring out what these long, complicated names were. And so I would Google them to find out that they're really carcinogenic, toxic ingredients. Synthetic. I mean, I just felt that our body would respond best through things just created from the earth, through Mother Nature, and just really nice, nutrient-dense extracts, essential oils, butters, you name it. I became my own little science project, so to speak, because I couldn't find anything on store shelves that met my level of just obsession with ingredient decks. And I mean, every product that I, looked at and kind of had some type of hole in it, whether it was a fragrance, whether it was a very toxic artificial preservative, just a lot of fillers, synthetic ingredients. It was just, I couldn't find anything that I really loved. So what I did is I just kind of came up with this little base formula to help remove the impurities through a combination of clays and also superfood extracts. And then I would wear this mask just to help, encourage blood flow to the surface of the skin and also exfoliate that area that had all that scarring and abrasions from the accident. And in doing so, I would feed that freshly exfoliated area just really dense ingredients, things like colostrum, vitamin C, pearl powder, American ginseng, kelp powder, just to really help that cell turnover and feed that freshly exfoliated skin a really nice dense meal. And it just made sense to me. And it was, the healing was, accelerated, and, here we are, 6 years later. And it's crazy to have a company through something that I just was exploring out of necessity. I didn't have any intention ever to have a business with this, because who would take on an actor who has a passion for skincare? But I didn't have any chemistry degrees, but I had this absolute obsession with just learning more and more about different ingredients from all around the world and why certain people use them. And it just became, an absolute interest of mine to purchase them and melt down the butters in my kitchen. And, it just became my own little lab, and that was my own science project.
That must have been so much fun, just playing with that stuff in your kitchen, Just the, I mean, I can't even imagine how you started just with a whole buckets. I've seen pictures. I remember years ago where you had a bucket and you'd have a massive drill or like a mixer and off you go and you were pummeling this stuff. Yeah, that must have just been so much fun, just figuring out how to get quantities and what to mix in.
Right. The beginning stages when we had to scale up after Dave Asprey put it on his Bulletproof website as his first Bulletproof approved skincare product, because I was a customer of Bulletproof and just a huge fan of Dave before this. And so to be a business partner with him and a friend of his, it's a feeling of excitement and adrenaline that I just can't explain. So like every single day, I just couldn't wait to get up and try to figure this thing out because I didn't really have any idea of scaling a business. I mean, I wasn't a business owner before I had this product, but coming up with packaging, coming up with label sizing and just, like you said, scaling out precisely the amount of ingredients to come up with 5,000 units of a product or something like that in deadlines and having to hit those deadlines. And it's just, it was so exciting because I've always wanted to just have something and do something, like say I created something. I never really thought of myself as a creative person, but this was an absolute creative outlet for me. Yeah, but you're absolutely right. Just going over to Home Depot and renting this mud mixer for, I think it was $29 a day when I could have just bought the whole thing for $150, but I ended up renting it every day. I don't know, 15 days, so you do 15 times 30, that's 450. I could have bought three or four of them. So, I mean, I didn't know how to do this. I was just living in a moment of excitement to pursue an absolute dream of mine, which it's just still building, and yeah, the excitement was I can't even describe it.
That's cool. So that's actually got me thinking about. So we're going to get into skincare tips, but now if we're talking about common things like stress in this example, so imagine that you're a business owner and suddenly your product goes viral. It's popular and people want it, and that can create not only the excitement because your product's gone popular, but stress now. So do you think from a stress perspective, I mean, so many people are stressed for multiple factors and that can come out in skin. So how do you mitigate that effect? I'd just be interested.
How do I mitigate the stress response? I do a lot of work to assist in that because, Gary, it started off, It was a lot of fun and excitement. Everything was good. And then because with one product, it's just like it's pretty easy to control. And then as we build into we have 8 different products now. And then I just finished 3 more and I'm already starting R&D on 2 more. So we're looking at 13, 14 potential products right here by the end of 2017 and just keeping up with inventory and precise research and development on the ingredients for all those. It does. I mean, the level of stress is, now I see it and I'm experiencing it daily, but it's okay. I always try to remind myself that, you have to enjoy this process. I mean, I put myself in perspective of where I was before the accident, not really having anything that I truly was passionate about. So this is right where I'm supposed to be. But yeah, finding that perspective and maintaining the joy of enjoying the things that we do have and not worrying about the things that we don't. And that's, perspective has been huge. Exercise, nutrition, routine oriented mornings and nights. So I stay consistent with my energy and my happiness. I talk to people who make me feel great. My family is super important to me. So that's, staying consistent with just maintaining close personal relationships, that's been huge. But diet, definitely exercise and releasing that oxytocin response. I think that's what it is. A little serotonin, getting that dopamine going, and music. I have little things, getting good sunlight. If you have a chance to do that, that's something I recommend. And sauna has been huge for me as well. The infrared sauna has been amazing. So I have a lot of little things that I can do to help deal with that, but man, yeah, it's the responsibilities are are definitely growing. And, you know, I welcome that because that's what I've always wanted.
So when this comes to skincare, so you mentioned there's a lot of awesome points that you just mentioned in there. I'm just going to pick out, let's start with, say, diet. Then what, from a skincare perspective, what do you think could, I mean, you can talk from personal experience, but maybe even just feedback from your users. What do you think is something that people need to consider from a diet side of things so that they can maintain good skin as they age?
Right. I mean, everyone's inflammation response is different, but for me personally, I react to poorly to dairy, grains, sugar. I practice intermittent fasting. And so at the end of that intermittent fast, usually around 1 or 2 p.m. my time, say if I ate at 8 o'clock the night before, I won't eat until 1 or 2 p.m. the following day. So I'm working on a 16 to 18 hour response right there where I haven't eaten anything outside of my morning herbal tonic and my bulletproof coffee. And that's what works best for me. I mean, I stay hydrated. I do my best to really get as much nutrient dense activity through food and vegetables as I can, really good protein and amino acid content from, like, say, grass fed meats that I eat and wild meats and good pastured eggs. But staying as nutrient dense with everything that I put into my body is key, and staying away from the things that give my body an inflammation response is extremely important as well, like the dairy, the grains, and the sugar. So, and toxic products is another big thing. I mean, I had acne in college. And so that's when I started becoming really interested in what I was putting on my skin. I was using Clearasil, Noxzema, Neutrogena, Clean and Clear. I don't know if I already said Clearasil. I think I did. Yeah. So, I mean, just the big heavily marketed brands that's all I knew though. I mean, I was 18 years old and I just bought what I saw in a magazine, and I thought that was what was good for me. You know, you see these studies and like so-and-so before and so after, and who knows if those were even real customers, but yeah. It was all marketing. But yeah, I just became more and more passionate of what is this, you know, these stearates, these parabens, these sodium, these foaming agents, these fragrances, alcohol-laced products with really dense, harsh preservatives that were causing a reaction on my skin daily. That's when I became passionate about it. And year by year, it got better from 18, and now I'm 35, about to be 36. And so yeah, it's definitely growing. And then it's just something that I love to do. And it's a rewarding industry because you can set yourself apart from other brands by just taking it to another level and just creating a dense, rich product without those harsh chemicals and toxic ingredients. And we're reaping the benefits of just clean, natural skincare. You know, your skin is your largest organ, so you want to treat it like another mouth. I mean, your body absorbs whatever you put onto it. Your skin absorbs whatever your blood flow absorbs the toxins that you rub into it daily. So you have to be careful with what you put on.
Yeah. That was actually something I wanted to ask you about, because we are inundated from a chemical soup perspective. There are so many various chemicals, especially in the skincare range, it's gigantic. I'm also a fellow acne sufferer, where I was at the stage with dermatologists and having to get steroid injections and Accutane. I think it's Roaccutane, you know, so hardcore pharmaceuticals that, you know, they have to check your liver to make sure it doesn't damage your liver. So I understand it's unfortunately, when it comes to skincare, there's some really, really hard stuff out there. And I'm interested then too, because I did the same thing with all those brand name skin washes. So do you think, when it comes to any adults who are listening here, who've got maybe teenage kids, can those teenage kids use some of your products, you think, to help?
Yes. Yeah. You know, the teenage years they're a little more difficult because of the unpredictable hormone release and just a hormone response to them growing into their pre-adulthood and changing just so drastically in those nice, awesome years where I remember when I was just, you know, 12 to 18 years old, and you're just going through these constant changes hormonally. And so that's, it's difficult to really pinpoint certain things. And also you combine that with stress and diet, nutrition. But we've had so many beautiful emails and messages from people from all around the world that are using the products now, and the masks specifically for, you know, spot treating acne and just getting on a nice protocol. We have a good ebook, which I'm happy to send it to any of your following. It's a 30-page ebook of just really just breaking down the natural path to skincare and the benefits of using nice, good, clean, nutrient dense products, as opposed to the toxic chemical laced products that are commonly used, you know, the Proactives, the Clearasil, Clean and Clear, Neutrogena, things like that. So whether it's my product or something, someone else's, just really be very aware of your ingredient decks. And, you know, they have lists out there of carcinogenic ingredients that should not be in these products. And I would definitely look in those, because you're absolutely right as far as, you know, those ingredients get processed through the liver and damage the liver, which can, you know, lead to kidney problems as well, and just overall irritation and an overall brain fog. I've heard of past people that have worked for me that were on Accutane, and that hurt. That one worker of mine fell into depression through Accutane specifically, and I've heard that pretty commonly. So,
yeah,
that's the worst.
I know, it's hardcore, and even what I mean, I'm a male, but if you're a female and they tell you that if you get pregnant whilst you're taking it, you could have a teratogenic child, like a malformed fetus. It's, you know, this is it's hardcore stuff out there, and it's there's so many people who are needing to go to that stage where they feel they need to, because their skin is just a mess, you know? And so I think exactly what you said, there's so many other things you can do to get the foundation correct. But then, you know, you want to apply good stuff onto your skin too, because when I use your Alatura mask, which we're going to get onto now, you can feel the difference. It feels awesome. It just feels so nice and refreshing. Coming onto the mask now, because really that's your primary, that's how everything got started, was this mask. Something is silly, but is clay masking the same as mudding?
So, you know, clays are nutrient dense. I mean, so they're both are from the earth, right? So say if it's the Dead Sea mineral mud at the bottom of, the Dead Sea, that's a liquid emulsified mud, right? So, one of my first products that I ever used when I was in my early 20s was this Dead Sea mineral mud. But I have clay, which is dry. I use dry clays. Right now, I'm actually thinking of formulating a product that's already pre-mixed, and you just apply and let it dry and go. But as you know, with the clay mask, it's a powder of just this mineral-rich clay, four clays, Eyelite, bentonite, kaolin, and rhosule, which just all do different things and have different capabilities of bringing really good circulation to the surface of the skin and just help constrict the nice capillaries and get that good bright complexion that we want, but also help remove toxins, impurities, and heavy metals. It's amazing how versatile these clays are. And a lot of people take them internally as well and help you, you know, as a detox protocol. And it's just really, it's fascinating stuff. But mud, clays, it's just, you know, it's really anything that is so mineral rich and dense, it's something that I, you know, there are stories of, you know, sick elephants and that would just roll around in mud and then lay out in the sun and then, you know, in an effort to heal themselves. And so there's something about just applying the stuff from the earth, literally the earth, and then helping it, it's such a healing, it has such healing capabilities to it that we're finding out more and more of its density.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those silly things in life again where the natural is actually one of the best things for us at the end of the day, or And something when it comes to your skin that unfortunately living in the modern world is we don't get to roll around in the mud and be playful like that and get dirty. And in this way, I like it because this is your product's like the modern dirty. You get to actually put stuff on and help yourself at the same time.
I just did it an hour ago. It's in the hair. I just came out with a new derma roller for Alitura, which it's incredible. You know, it's that whole process of opening up the pores and just really getting that good release of any congestion around the eye area and removing impurities, any type of fog that you're in. The mask, it's my number one favorite product. Even if I didn't make it, it'd be my number one most effective product, because it's just one of those things that you see and feel results immediately. I mean, regardless, every single time I know what I'm going to get with it, and I have the most sensitive skin ever. And I'm going to, whether something, if I use something that my body doesn't react to, it's going to be there for a week. The mask is something that I can rely on every single time to show me the exact same result every time. So
I want to ask you maybe then, I'm just thinking if we get onto the tips of the mask, but just want to finish off with the product, with the ingredient side of the mask then. So, you know, I've got my tub over here.
Nice. Do you see the new packaging that we just released? You see the black?
No. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we just got this one right here.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, we kind of just redid the back label with some of my the design is a little more sleek, but yeah, I see that you have it right there.
So
about the last time you did a mask.
I did a mask because I'm playing around with doing masks in the evening. So we'll get onto the reason why I'm doing that at the moment. I did mine because today is Tuesday. I think I did mine either yesterday or the day before on Sunday, I think. Yeah. So no, it's I love it. I just want to also ask then, so we know about the clays and the detoxing effect of that. Are there any other particular ingredients in here that maybe you want to sort of just highlight why they're in there?
Oh, absolutely. The ground freshwater pearl powder is amazing for mitigating sunspots and just creating a smooth, even skin tone. I found that out. I used to take pearl just as a liver tonic and to help calm me down at night. And I just through playing around one night, I mean, pearl is extremely expensive, so I was very hesitant to do this, but I just put it in my hand and had a little water, and the smoothness of the immediate impact of the smoothness of my skin was remarkable. So I didn't have much of it. I only had like 50 grams in this little pouch that I was taking it at night, a half teaspoon, teaspoon, whatever it was. And so I added some into my existing mask that I had, and it just took it to another level. I mean, freshwater pearl powder is amazing stuff. You're starting to see it in more and more skincare products, but I hadn't seen it in any back then. That's one of my favorite ingredients that I have in the mask. Let's see what else. First 6 hour milking, collected grass-fed colostrum. That's another major ingredient. It's loaded in IGF-1 growth factors. And I really feel like it hits that freshly exfoliated area and just encourages the growth of new skin cells. And it adds a super healing effect to the skin. And just provides it with a softness that I just didn't have. A lot of clay masks can be super dry. Mine just has this nice, smooth effect to it that is not overly dry, not overly irritating at all. It took a while to get where it is, but I just had nothing but time after my accident. So it was my own little fine tuning of my baby. But yeah, I mean, everything in there, the organic kelp powder loaded in vitamin A, C, K, B12, it's a blue and green algae. So it's just, I mean, it's amazing it's also loaded in sodium alginate, which is a potent topical cleanser, just to help with the nice cleansing and just help remove some of that oil and dirt from the pores and help minimize those pores. The vitamin C crosses the dermis and helps, from sun damage. And then you have rounding it out with American ginseng, just helping with that blood building. And there were actually, I was pretty much set with my ingredient roster. And then I met with a Chinese herbalist and said, you may want to explore American ginseng. And I went, why? And they said, well, the workers who handle it out in China don't, their hands don't wrinkle. And so I went, all right, let me see what's going on. And so I added it in there. And so for about the next few months, it just, it sat on the face. It was, I had like a little binding factor to it, just added a really nice smooth feel and even drying of the mask. So yeah, those are my ingredients, and everything in there has a different purpose for it and a reason, and has its own story. So yeah, that's what's fun. I didn't just throw it together. I mean, everything has a very interesting story. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, excellent. Cool. So now I want to get on to how to actually use your mask properly. So like you said, the reason I've been experimenting with trying to actually do it more in the evening is trying to follow more like circadian biology. Right. So it was just funny that I came across an article that was talking about with beard hair, and that we talk about the 5 o'clock shadow at the end of the day, but we don't talk about a 5 o'clock shadow in the morning. And the idea is that hair growth doesn't really grow so much over the evening. It happens more during the day. So there's like a circadian biology to our hair growth.
Wow.
So, I didn't think about that. Yeah. So it got me thinking, okay, so I mean, this is me going on a tangent, but like, should men even from an optimal point of view be shaving more in the evening or the morning if they had to follow this like circadian biology? Or even something like skin care then. So I was just thinking it shaving after doing a mask. Something like, I want to get on to any differences for men and women on this case, but
sure.
Could you maybe just explain then, how would you explain to a newbie, someone who's completely new to mark to clay, your clay mask, how should they use it?
Absolutely. So I use a non-metallic bowl to help just retain those electromagnetic properties of the clays, whether it's glass, bamboo, any type of non-metallic bowl that you can find, even plastic even. But I mix a couple tablespoons of the mask in an equal amount of apple cider vinegar. I add a little lemongrass, clary sage. Some add lavender, bergamot, green coffee oil. I have so many different little things that I add to just kind of turn up the mask and just the effects of it. And I mix it with a non-metallic mixing agent, whether it's just a little, I have a little bamboo bowl and mortar pestle type deal. I mix it up so it's extremely smooth, like toothpaste. And then I'll put a little warm water on the face and then apply the mask and let it dry. You're absolutely right. Sometimes I'll do it at night. Like tomorrow I have a flight at very early in the morning. There's no way I'm waking up and doing a mask before that flight. But I definitely would. So I'm going to do it at night before I go to bed. And you're absolutely right. I don't get the same 5 o'clock shadow as I would say if I did the, you know, shaving in the morning and then at like 5 o'clock at night, it's there for whatever reason. That's really interesting. I never took that into account, but I put it on, I let it dry, I hop in the shower, I let it rinse off gently through the water, not with my hands. You know, you got to protect the capillaries underneath your skin, and then I'll moisturize. I'll do it while I'll finish with the cold rinse to close the pores. I'll moisturize, and then I'll go on with my day. And it's just every single time I do, it's just undeniable results.
So how long would you say you typically would keep the clay mask on for then?
It depends if I have anywhere where I have to go. So if I'm just working around my office here and I don't, you know, have anywhere to be until like 1 or 2 p.m., I'll just keep it on. I mean, that is for as long as possible. Personally, that works fine for me just to get that really nice constriction of the blood vessels. But I sometimes, you know, it'll just be 20, 30 minutes just to get a nice, good drying. But some of the med spas and estheticians that use it have their own process as well, where they don't let it dry. They just, you know, they open it up before and they let it condition the skin, which it, I mean, the ingredients definitely take care of that. And So it's really up to the user in whatever they're looking to do. But I definitely like to let it dry, and it usually takes around 20 minutes or so.
Okay. Yeah. And it sounds like I'm from South Africa. So Africa, and lots of African women will keep the mud on their, or the clays on their face all day. So
yes.
Yeah. So you're sort of, when you're talking about that, like you're saying, if anyone wants to, and you're in an environment where you can, there's, you know, keep the mask on for hours if you wish. So there's no there's no issue in doing that.
I'm gonna cite that as a source.
Oh yeah, no. You'll see, African women will mask because they're doing it to protect themselves, like animals do too, to put clay so that there is like a natural sunblock in a way. But they literally will mask all day. So, but that could be another reason. Yes, so, I mean those ladies have fantastic skin. So.
Yeah,
so it's good to know. Yeah, either for, you know, like you said, 20 minutes to maybe hours, depending on your needs and your wants there. And then you said about 2 teaspoons, and you mix it in.
Yeah, so everyone's different with, I do full, like neck, hair, everywhere. So I'm using a little bit more, two tablespoons, and obviously I have a lot of it here, so
yeah,
I don't skimp on that. But my mom, for instance, she does a couple teaspoons, so just as like a nice light layer to get a good little rosy reaction, nice little blood flow to the surface. But so it's just whatever the individual usage is requiring at that. If you're looking to get a nice good full constriction, I would apply a thicker mask, but not too. It's kind of a feel thing. So whatever you're looking to do, but as far as a nice medium sized layer, but I put mine in my hair as well, so I'm using a little bit more.
Well, I think that's, you know, what you're doing there with the hair is a fantastic tip, and it got me thinking how many people don't treat the skin on their scalp. So when I saw you running it through your hair, most people just think, oh, hair, but actually, what's hair connected to? It's the scalp, your skin. So right. You want to treat the scalp, and that's why you get anti-dandruff products that treat the skin on the scalp so that you don't have dandruff. And in this case, you can use clay masking to actually treat the scalp.
Absolutely. And then also my derma roller, the ones that I'm done with, say if I did it 5 or 10 times already on my face, I'll reuse that one for my scalp and then do a new one for my face, but use the other one for my scalp. So all around, I'm opening up those tiny little holes in the scalp to escort the micronutrients of the clay mask into the scalp. And it just, you know, creates a nice, good, refreshing circulation that it's an incredible feeling. It's a nice little release too. If you ever have a headache or anything like that, it's awesome.
Oh, and just that feeling of being able to get into your hair. When people are so, you know, they can be very protective of their hair or whatever, but it feels so good just to run your fingers through. And as a guy, I think, I don't know, you know, when you put a wax in and your hair can stay in place, but your clay mask, that's the ultimate. You can just be, oh, that feels good. Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't got anyone who actually uses that instead of a wax. They go for a particular look with the clay mask. That would be quite funny.
I've played around with it, and believe me, we're working on a couple of hair products right now for men, but the only problem is mine is for my hair color. So it's like a dark blonde right now. And so I'm working with this clay blend to match my, I actually have it in right now, if you can't tell. But
you've got clay in your hair right now?
I do.
Wow. That's
cool.
Yeah,
it's clay and a couple superfoods, and it's just what it does. It just add, you know, it's like a contouring molding clays, it's not only clays, but it's a lot of different ingredients just to help all naturally form your hair and help it stay into place. And it adds like a nice little weight to it and some texture. Mm. And I love it. And so that's all I use. And because there were so many hair products out there that had a lot of those toxins in it that I didn't want to put that so close to my scalp. And so I just kind of, you know, same thing what I do with all my products is started creating my own.
Yeah. Well, that sounds cool. Cause that is the problem again. If I think of a dry wax and, yeah, it can create the style, but it's messy as hell. And it's all synthetic again. So, I would love to rather have a clay source to mold and to sculpt and to shape hairstyles.
Yep.
That's very cool, man. Looking Thank forward you. To that.
Yeah, no, it should be here soon. The only problem is if someone has a different color hair, I don't know how that's going to work. But you know what I could do is I could just use a different combination of clays and make one for darker hair, lighter hair. And I can do that.
And redheads like me. That's the challenge, to try and get ginger hairs.
Maybe I'll use you as a test subject. That's what I would use for that, actually. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll be in contact about that soon.
Cool. Okay. Just the sort of recap there. So we talked about the amounts. Depends what you want to play with, how long you put it on, and just telling people, don't just think about your face, put it on your neck, those areas in the front of your neck. So guys, where you shave, but also put it on the back of your neck, and then run it through your hair, run it through your scalp.
Absolutely. That's what I do. Let it dry, get that good constriction and that good, just the circulation and that blood flow. And then, let the ingredients do its thing. And then I like to use the shower. If you're over a sink, and that works fine as well. But I like to just hop in the shower and let that do its thing.
Yeah, that's it sounds efficient. Say you get up and depends when someone showers. But yeah, you mask, you do your thing in the morning, eat your breakfast, go have a shower, get ready for the day. And so you could be walking around. Yeah, just build it into someone's routine for time efficiency. Okay, and then are there any differences maybe that between men and women should know when it comes to masking? Have you found any little nuances or tips that you would suggest?
The only thing that I would suggest, and I just don't want to get yelled at as far as like putting it in the hair. You know, women, just in my experience, usually a little longer hair than men. It could, sometimes if it could get, a little, if there's
troublesome.
If it's color treated, it may, there may have some effects there. But with a longer hair situation that usually women have, I would just be go into it knowing that it's going to take a little bit longer to rinse out. But that's fine. I mean, I also have a lot of women that use it. With great results in the hair, but it's meant for the skin primarily. So as far as like a skin mask, the differences in results for men and women, I haven't heard any. It's all pretty consistent and right down the middle as far as just what to expect and the results that you see through men and women.
And so, do you think like what I've been playing with shaving after masking? Do you think that's a good idea?
So that's, for years I just did, I shaved before and then I did the mask. And then my friend was like, it just made sense. Well, my friend told me that the mask helped lift up the hairs for his shave and it's provided a really nice smooth glide for the blade. And so I just tried it out. Now I can't go back to my original shaving before a mask. I just refused to. So, I mean, but both are amazing. I haven't done it since, so I can't tell you. Maybe I should just because, to see the if I can pinpoint the difference. But it's just been part of my routine ever since he told me about masking before he shaves. It just made sense to raise up those tiny hairs a little bit, and it gives that good exfoliating action that you love before a nice shave. So, yeah, it's a total – it was a no-brainer for me. I like to do it before.
Okay. All right, cool. So I want to then maybe – we've talked about masking, but maybe I didn't cover the point. How often do you think people should be masking? Like, well, I know there's probably going to be a spectrum again, but we've got – so say in your situation, which was let's call it like dermal emergency because you've just had surgery, you've had an incision, you've had abrasions, and you want to treat your skin. And that's like what you were doing after your accident versus someone who's just trying to maintain healthy looking skin as they age. Do you think there's any recommendations from your side for how often someone should be masking?
the pretty, you know, the standard recommendation is 1 to 3 times a week. I just, and then they had these things, this 30-day mask challenge come out through an esthetician, like a Facebook group that I'm on. And these people, just, I mean, they loved doing daily masks. And so I started doing that as well recently, and my skin has improved. So, I mean, that's just what I'm doing. It's a little, but you know, the thing is the particle size of the clay mask, the Alatura clay mask is just, it's so fine and so smooth and sits on the face so lightly, where I just haven't had any like harsh reaction to it by doing it daily. So, but you know, general rule of thumb is 1 to 3 times a week, you know, give your skin cells a chance to regrow and repair themselves. I've been doing it, you know, sometimes 4 or 5 times a week, and I know people do it daily. So, well, everyone's different.
Yeah, you got to love that spectrum. You know, we're all our own, and you just got to play with and see what works best for your skin.
Exactly.
Okay. So earlier on, you were talking about some of your other routines that you do to take care of your skin, because I think. So we talked about teenagers and when we're developing potential problem skin. Do you have any other tips then for how we can, well, what you're even thinking of doing to help your skin age well as you age?
So
I was just thinking, yeah, so we, you know, of course, using natural products on your skin. I just wondered if you had any other. It might not be something you're actively doing now, but it's something you think also that people could consider for when it comes to skincare and being able to have good, healthy looking skin that ages well.
Right. It's staying hydrated and keeping your skin hydrated is extremely important. So, doing that with things like hyaluronic acid, you know, with my night cream basically. So, I just make sure that the most important time to feed that hydration, replenish that, the lost moisture, is while we sleep. So get on a really good night cream. I just don't miss nights. You know, you wake up, the idea with a good concentrated, rich night cream is to wake up vibrant and glowing, better than you were before when you went to bed. And so that is extremely important, staying on top of your exfoliation, but not over exfoliating. A good, rich, nutrient-rich diet with phytonutrients, good vegetables with broccoli, sweet potato, some of my favorites, beets, celery, cilantro, avocado, fats, avocado, coconut, animal protein fat. I mean, so with the things like ribeye and the steaks I eat, really good. Conjugated linoleic acid is from animal fat is amazing for the skin, and subcutaneous fat as well. So that's diet plays a huge part. Hydration plays a huge part, and then conditioning it and reconditioning it and feeding that that area that you just exfoliated when you sleep at night with a good night cream and moisturizer is extremely important as well.
I actually wanted to ask you about that. Because you've mentioned how your product range has increased so much just from the mask. And I wanted to ask you about your feelings then when it comes to creams and moisturizers. So they're definitely a good part of a skincare regime, you feel?
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing. I first started using an eye cream and night cream in college because I used to be a baseball player and I was out in the sun all day and I was starting to get these fine lines embedded into my face. And I was only 22, 23 years old and I couldn't figure out what was going on, but I guess it made sense to me at the time. And so I started applying this, I think it was a Dove night cream. But the thing is they're using a lot of stearates and alcohol, synthetic fragrances that just irritate and dry out the skin. And so it is so important to feed that your skin just a really nice, moisturizing, rich meal. And so with butters, essential oils, extracts, I use plant-derived stem cells in my night cream, sweet potato-derived hyaluronic acid to really just hydrate the skin cell. and just encourage the growth of new collagen and lift and firm and tone the skin. So it's just extremely important to get a very good product, but also be very aware of the harsh ingredients that are in a lot of them, and the artificial colors and fragrances and preservatives. Alcohol can be extremely drying to the skin, and so a lot of these products can actually be counterproductive to what you're trying to achieve in good supple skincare. So just be very aware of that, and just know that Mother Nature provided us with everything that we need. So that's the way I keep all my products just away from all the toxins and synthetic ingredients, and just use everything that I can find from the planet, and just my skin responds better that way.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm a little naive, but when it comes to the difference between creams and moisturizers, what's the difference there? Is creams for the rest of the body and moisturizer for the face? Is that the difference?
They're creams, moisturizers, lotions. They're all terms for different. I mean, pretty much achieving the same thing. I mean, the whole point there is usually creams can be a little bit thicker, more rich, more dense. It's just a texture thing. My night cream is primarily used for the face at night before you go to bed, as it's a more rich, thicker, concentrated cream base rather than my facial moisturizer or my body lotion. But the whole point is it's concentrated because for the face. But if you have a target area where you'd like to hit, like some women use it for stretch marks and post-pregnancy and things like that. So that's, or surgery scars around their body. And that's a great use for it as well. There's K-Factor 16 Manuka honey in my night cream. So it's extremely healing as well. So as far as the terminology with creams, serums, and lotions, they all are, the main point is to do the same thing, which is to nicely hydrate the skin and provide that nourishment to the skin cell. But it's just a terminology.
Okay. So I'm just thinking your moisturizer, you could also use that at night or during the day, could you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You could use, my body lotion I use for my face, my body lotion, before you go to bed, my facial moisturizer. I mean, all the products, it's just really wherever you're looking to achieve optimal results. I mean, they're all just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's very exciting hearing all of the new products that are coming out. This is all new to me too, because I've just been into masking. So to hear about hair range, and just as going onto your website too, it's alaturanaturals.com, is it?
Yep. Alaturanaturals.com. That's alaturanaturals.com. Mm-hmm. And at Alatura Naturals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And here to answer any questions if you have them. I definitely want to add a 15% coupon code to you and your audience, and we can generate that and have that in the show notes if you'd like.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, that would be brilliant. Thank you very much for offering everyone that. That's fantastic. Yeah. 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 Oh, that's awesome. Because hopefully, I guess what my main aim today also with you, Andy, was because I want people to know how to use your products properly to get the best benefit out of it. And I think all the information you've shared today, I mean, it's educated me on when to use it, how much to use it, and times to apply. So hopefully I think a lot of people would have definitely benefited from listening to that today. And I always wanted to, I know when it comes to skin, especially it's a difficult question, but that difference between men and women, because we are different in that aspect, but just little things. But I do think men and women want to have good looking skin. And I mean, I've seen you in person, your skin is fantastic. So if anyone wants to know, you're the proof in the pudding. So, except don't eat pudding because it's not good for your skin.
Oh, no. No, I appreciate that. Thank you. And it's exactly what you said. That's why I didn't want to create an all men's line or an all women's line. This is Alatura. It's about 55% women customer database and 45% men. That's pretty much right down the middle. people are responding, both genders are responding great to the product. So it's just a matter of bringing cutting edge, incredible ingredients with a very pristine, clean formula that's as close to nature as possible. I think that's how our body and your skin reacts best. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
No problem as well. Again, thank you so much for coming on today. Been very enlightening. Are there any, I'm just guessing, are there any other points that maybe you felt like you want people to know about Alatura that we didn't cover today?
You know, it's just, I love hearing what people, the feedback customers and people have about my products. I mean, word of mouth has been everything with our marketing. I don't get these big marketing campaigns. I'd rather use that money to create my products. And so it's just, you know, word of mouth has been everything. People telling their friends and like yourself, you know, these podcasts are huge. I mean, that's how I started everything, was through a podcast with Dave Asprey. And so now to be in 74 countries and really have a product line that's expanding rapidly. I mean, I just keep my job as, My job is somewhat simple, but it's, I mean, my mission is just to create the next level product through creating the next level product through just bringing the best ingredients I can find through all around the world that and as clean as possible. So that's pretty much it. I just, if anybody gets anything out of this, just really just the main point here would be just pay attention to your labels, because people change them up. You know, the same product that you bought 2 months ago may be different now because of that brand getting acquired or bought out. And so they're trying to cut their and dilute their ingredient deck. So be very careful of that. Look up carcinogenic ingredients, artificial fragrances, colors, preservatives, and really just get to know your ingredients. And so, you know, your skin is your largest organ, so you just have to take care of it.
Exactly. Yeah, great. So again, thank you so much, Andy, for coming onto the show. And for anyone interested in your products, I'm definitely going to link to everything in the show notes on this. And so you've got all the details in there. Alatura Naturals.com is the website to go to. And please, yeah, if you do clay mask and you get the results, as Andy said, you know, send him pictures. He loves seeing how you're using the product. And that's how the world learns, you know, by actually, because we're talking skincare. So pictures say a lot when it comes to skincare.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, thanks very much, Andy.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on, Gary.
Cool. Thanks, man. Bye-bye. So that was the interview with Andy Nilo from Alatura Naturals, and you would have heard that he graciously gave us a 15% coupon code to use at the store, and I organized what that code is, and it's Biohack. So that's BIOHACK. So when you go to the website and you go through the checkout and you've chosen your product or products, then enter the code Biohack at the end, and you'll get 15% off your order. Enjoy your product.